Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Rainbow Clubs aim to provide a safe and supportive environment for young people who identify as LGBTQ+, and some have formed at elementary schools in Elk Grove. Organizers say they offer students a sense of belonging, but that's not the end of the story. Some parents in the school district say they weren't informed about the existence of the clubs and that the topic isn't age appropriate. The district has faced backlash from community members, some of whom are claiming the clubs are pushing conversions. Here to talk about the Rainbow Clubs and the controversy is CAP Radio's education reporter, Srishti Prabha. Hi, Srishti.
Hi, Chris.
Well, let's start off by talking, you know, what are these Rainbow Clubs? I know there are similar clubs that are somewhat common at high schools, but why are elementary schools forming them?
Right. Rainbow clubs are inclusionary spaces for 4th to 6th graders, so elementary school students, where they can express their gender and sexual identity or be allies to those who identify as LGBTQ+. These rainbow clubs are relatively new, most of them having only been around maybe 1 to 2 years. And yeah, it is, you're right, uncommon to have such clubs in elementary schools, which is why it's a little contentious. Most don't have it. There are only like 4 to 5 in Elk Grove Unified School District, and they're usually formed based on the needs or if school staff observe a lot of students expressing that identity. But it's a hard club to start because of parent consent.
Well, we're going to talk about parents. We're going to talk about some of the opposition to these clubs in a moment. But could you clarify for our audience why CAP Radio is not identifying individual schools or using full names of students in this story?
Sure. Yeah, there has been a lot of opposition and concern in the school board meetings in Elk Grove Unified School District. So after months of convincing and working with the district, we decided to establish some trust between the two of us and ensure anonymity so that, you know, the teachers and the students and the school sites were not target of any sort of hate crimes. So, yeah, this story does not disclose any names, whether it's schools, teachers or students, for their own protection.
And there have been examples of folks sort of targeting people in the past because of this very issue.
Absolutely, there has been. I can talk a little bit more about that. So in Elk Grove, it's a unique issue because this is a newer club and it's not existing throughout all Sacramento County schools. It's very at specific school sites. And so we've had some comments at school board meetings that are quite contentious. And here are some from the March 5th school board meeting where members spoke out against rainbow clubs.
It is unacceptable for any teacher or administrator to keep secrets from parents concerning their own children. This is a dangerous, divisive tactic that those with nefarious intent often use to exploit children, not protect them. Secret relationships between teachers and children is grooming.
The establishment of a gay club in elementary school raises concerns about age appropriateness. While fostering inclusivity is vital, it's crucial to evaluate the developmental readiness of our children's young minds for such discussions.
And so that was Elk Grove parents Kyle Nixon and Mary Congdon. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we just heard?
Yeah, I think those were some parents that were expressing their concerns. And then Elk Grove Unified School Board member Michael Vargas, who was there, said these same people usually come out and speak out primarily against LGBTQ-related events.
They wanted us to punish students for holding a drag show. They wanted us to pull LGBTQ people out of our curriculum. They wanted us to ban LGBTQ books. It's the same people. We know that they're working together.
Okay, well, let's talk more about the school district itself. What is the district's policy when it comes to these clubs and parental consent?
Currently, lunchtime clubs do not require the same parental consent as after-school clubs. So they are apprehensive, partially also, that of forcibly outing a student as a result of parent consent forms. And they also noted that, you know, all lunchtime clubs do not have parental consent. So Rainbow Club is not unique or specific in that. But Trustee Vargas does want to work with the parents.
We have a policy of supporting the existence of rainbow clubs at elementary schools. We applied the same rules that apply to every other club. And the district acknowledges that the communication, this could be an area where our policies could be improved.
So they've paused the Rainbow Club in question at Pleasant Grove Elementary School to review their policies. But the other clubs in the district actually do ask for parent consent and will continue.
I see. So they've asked, and that would lead me to believe that the parents have said, go forward and not don't stop these particular clubs.
Well, I don't think that those school sites have had the same type of opposition yet. They have parent consent forms, even though one that I went to was a lunchtime club. One I went to was an after school club. Both had parent consent. But it could be limiting the kids that are not accessing that space. It could actually be a detractor for some students.
We talked a little bit earlier about why these clubs have formed, but tell us more about the need for them, the inclusionary spaces for students.
Absolutely. In Sacramento, a 2022 youth mental health report commissioned by the county concluded that up to 70% of students intersecting with LGBTQ plus identities were experiencing feelings of hopelessness. And national data from the Trevor Project finds that LGBTQ plus young people are not inherently prone to suicide risk because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, but are at a higher risk because of how they're treated and stigmatized in society. So all of these data points are also worse for minority demographics. So the intersections really do matter. The authors of this report also noted that inclusionary spaces like the Rainbow Club can function as a line of defense. So having an adult in your life or someone in your life where you can, which is a safe space where you can express your identities, is super, super important. But yeah, this report is a little dated, and we should be seeing a new mental health report that may or may not show that those same identities are at higher risk or lower risk.
Shristi, let's talk a little bit about how these clubs first started. And also, I'd like to know, what exactly do students and teachers talk about in the clubs?
Teachers and counselors say that the conversations are entirely student-led. One club that I went to was started by a really industrious fifth grader, and this is what they had to say.
I felt like I didn't really belong, and I wanted to have a place where I knew that if anyone felt that same way that they could come and like know that they feel welcomed. And so I felt it was important enough that I needed to say something so that I could be the one to like show that it was okay.
And for teachers, the purpose of this club is just to support and validate young people who might be having complex emotions.
We have a disco lights and then we just have dance parties. So the activities are all over the place. It really depends on what the students want and what they're asking for. But we try to guide it by their curiosity. We can talk about what certain genders might mean. And identifying and how you feel in your body and yourself. But I don't think we go much farther than that because I don't want to ever push the envelope. I don't want to ever say anything that as a parent, I wouldn't want my kids to learn at these certain ages.
And she says she's witness to the benefits of the club where many students who are not accepted by their parents can be free to be themselves.
And so much of the hate is misguided. It's so misunderstood. And even some of the things I've heard people saying about what Rainbow Clubs are and what we do is, I mean, could not be farther from the truth. It's a beautiful place for students to gather and feel safe and build community. That's it.
Shristi, you also spoke with some of the students that are participating in these clubs. What do they say about the Rainbow Clubs?
Sure. I think we should just let them speak for themselves.
I joined Rainbow Club because in my outside life, my parents are strict. They always talk about who I should marry. It has to be in like our religion. They have to be a guy. But personally, I think I like to be more free. I want to make my own choices.
I joined Rainbow Club because I have family members, and after learning about it, I think I might be part of it.
I wanted to support like the people at this school and like help them understand that this is a safe space for kids to just come and be themselves.
You know, I want to pause right there for just a second. You know, this is not an easy topic to explore. There are a lot of voices there. You have a lot of sensitivities to sort of navigate with this story. Can you tell our audience a little bit about how you did that?
Yeah, I let the students kind of speak for themselves, like I said, instead of guiding the conversation or telling them what they should think. I think it's important to hear from them because I think a lot of times adults and community members feel as though they're people pushing a certain agenda. But really, these feelings are coming from the students themselves, and hearing what they think and why they join a club is significant because these are thoughts they have.
Were they open to talking? Was it difficult to convince them or to build trust with them?
Well, I did show up in my own rainbow gear, so I think maybe that helped a little bit. I think I just first was a fly on the wall listening to them talk about their roses and their thorns. So the conversation didn't start with what is pride and what is being gay or why did you join this club? It was just being kind of a witness to how they just interact on a day-to-day basis. And then when I felt there was an opportunity where they had started to discuss it, I asked them why. And I think, you know, they independently had come to all these conclusions, and I felt that was a very beautiful thing to witness.
We talked earlier about some verbal criticism of the clubs, but there's also been some material backlash to the clubs as well. Tell us what happened in Elk Grove.
Right. As I was sitting and listening to the conversation, one of the things that was brought up was a rainbow-colored bench that they had wanted to get out just in time for Pride Month. And the rainbow-colored bench would be for kids to sit on, and if they were sitting there, they could find companionship. And the day that I had gotten there, apparently 3 days prior to that, the bench had actually been destroyed by hate speech and just physical destruction. And the bench had actually cost them nearly $400, which they had made by selling shoelaces to people in the community. And here's some audio of them showing this bench to me very excitedly.
We needed to repaint it because some of it was peeling off. So we moved it, but then it was right in front of the gate. Mm-hmm. So that was how.
It's over here. I can't believe I fixed it.
Oh my God, this is beautiful. So it's like, is it going to stay here? Or are you guys
going to stay here. And we put it together and everything.
You put the bench together?
Yeah.
Wait, how?
There's like little screws over here.
And then they broke it.
They built this bench themselves.
No, that definitely comes through. So how did they feel about this bench being defaced?
They had a variety of emotions. I was actually kind of surprised by the breadth of it. It went from sadness and anger to disappointment and empathy. And again, I always think they say it best.
I was really disappointed to know that people feel the way they do. I know that the world can't magically be solved, but when people do it, I feel sad inside.
I felt disappointed that people would just go and say such hateful things. It's okay to like not like that stuff, but like it doesn't mean you have to really do that.
Maybe like pretty annoyed that like people would hate on Rainbow Club that much that they would climb a fence during their own weekend time to like vandalize something.
It was upsetting that people that I might know vandalized it, and I might not be friends with those people anymore because of that thing that they did.
It made me feel kind of bad for them that they are so uneducated, that they don't understand something, that they have to take time out of their time to make someone feel bad, and that they must be going through a really hard time trying to live their life. Then they have to like destroy something of ours, and I think that it's really sad, and I think the whole thing was kind of messed up.
You know, you and I talked earlier that, you know, that these rainbow clubs are not all across our region in every elementary school, but there has been pushback to pride celebrations, other celebrations in our region. Tell us a little bit about what's happened.
Right. Other districts and counties like Rockland have had issues with outing policies, which would require schools to notify parents if their children decides to use a different name or gender. But just this week, the policy was found to be illegal by the California Public Employment Relations Board. And thinking about what's next, AB 1955 is in California's legislature just waiting for approval on a bill that would deem outing policies in schools statewide illegal, which means rainbow clubs could function without the support of parents.
Have you gotten a sense for whether there is strong support for that bill to get it over the finish line?
There seems to be support for the bill, so we are hopeful that maybe these types of conversations will be changing in the future, but, you know, we don't know yet.
You know, Shastri, we still have a couple of minutes left, and I want you, if you can, to just remind our audience why this was an important story to tell. Why did you select it in the first place, and what are you hoping to leave with people? What takeaways do you hope to leave?
Yeah, the story actually was months in the making, which I mentioned earlier. It started when I reported on the Elk Grove Unified School District School Board meeting on March 5th. Then I wrote a story about the trustee, who is one of the only openly LGBTQ plus trustees in the district, Michael Vargas. And then, you know, after speaking with the district for months, we came to a point where I was able to report the story. And I think the reason the story is so important is to actually demystify what's happening in these classrooms, because they aren't these insidious things. They're not being converted. They're not being told to be gay. They're going there because they just want to create safe and inclusionary spaces. And I think that's super important to understand, because you always fear what you don't know. And I think this is a good way of showcasing that what is actually happening is just them being kind and not, you know, any sort of weird dialogue around what does sex look like.
Well, I think it's great that you were there, that you spent time building trust, documenting what's going on. And I really appreciate you sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you, Chris, and happy delayed Pride Month.
Well, Srishti Prabha is CAP Radio's Sacramento education reporter. And that's it for Insight today. You can hear more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Claire Morgan. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Chris Nichols, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We're off tomorrow for the July 4th holiday, but we'll get you back here on Monday.